Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. This is the 196th edition of the program. Thanks for tuning in. On the broadcast this week, and also for the show next week, I'm going to be sharing some interviews that I recorded in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, in October. First, this week, I will be sharing an interview conversation with Mercy from PIC, which is the Prostitution Information Center, PIC. And it is based in the Red Light District of Amsterdam, and they do organizing work to support sex workers. It is also an organization staffed by sex workers, and right now is at the center of a very important battle around gentrification in Amsterdam. The city of Amsterdam is attempting to close many windows where sex workers do their work and shift those into different types of spaces, boutique shops, studios. But this means a displacement of sex workers. And I have been really inspired by the organizing work at the Prostitution Information Center. They have been organizing protests over recent months at the end of 2023. And we're able to catapult this very local battle around space, urban planning, and gentrification in Amsterdam into an international spotlight. It's impressive. And I spoke with Mercy, who is a community organizer and sex worker at the Prostitution Information Center. We sat in the meeting room there and got some context on the organization, but also analysis about the current situation in Amsterdam, because obviously this particular struggle around city space speaks to the rights of sex workers, but also rights to the city more broadly, as gentrification and the corporate tourism industry become more and more synonymous with Amsterdam. These are really important points of tension and resistance to look to, because there's still, of course, many amazing activists and organizers in Amsterdam. So here's my conversation with Mercy.
My name is Mercy, and I am a sex worker organizer. I'm also queer. I'm also non-binary. I've been involved in the movement between Berlin and Amsterdam for the last 3 years. My background in organizing comes from both organizing within labor contexts and also university contexts. But in the last few years, I've focused on sex work. Mm-hmm. First joining groups in Berlin, like the sex worker section of the FAU, which is the Freie Arbeiters Union, and then the Sex Worker Action Group. When I started visiting Amsterdam more, I eventually got into similar groups here. We also have a sex worker action group, which are groups that lead, are focused on action, like taking protests and stuff like this. And then sex workers against violence and exploitation, so former sex workers working against violence and exploitation, right? And the PIC, the PIC, the Prostitute Information Center, has been a hub of basically information, knowledge, data, stories of the neighborhood, and specifically sex workers within the neighborhood since 1994. Wow. Yeah, so it was started by a window worker, because here in Amsterdam we have the form of sex work that's most visible, most prominent, are the working windows, right? Mm-hmm. And Mariska Major was a window worker, and she was doing her job, and all these people kept on coming up to her and asking questions, and she was like, I'm working, I'm tired of answering your questions at my job, you know, so why not start a center where people can come ask their naughty questions about sex work, right? I mean, there's no bad questions, but you know, when you're trying to work, it's really hard to do your job when people are coming up to you just to ask their questions about sex work or prostitution. You know, you're like, I'm looking for my clients. Can you please go away? Also, during this time, she realized just how many misconceptions there are about sex work, how it works, what happens, and you can tell we're next to the church too, which is, it's the center of the Red Light District, so it's both the windows, prostitutes, not prostitutes, sex workers, and the church colliding in one city center. When we can talk about more of the history later,
That'd be great.
And So she decided to create an informational hub where sex workers can come and understand, you know, how do I get into the business? Where's my community? Mm. How do I work a window? Who are the window operators? Clients can come ask, you know, how much should I pay for a blowjob? And then people, we actually say it's civilians in some cases, people who are non-sex working, who can come and ask their, again, like their naughty questions about sex work, because everybody feels very curious around it, right? And it's like, you know, it's so incredibly visible here, and people can easily balk at it in some way, or they can try to come and inform themselves. And so we wanted to create a space where that information exchange can happen, because there's so much information, so much knowledge behind. Like, sex workers, I think, are one of the most, like, vibrant groups of cultural knowledge producers that exist. Yeah, so.
Well, just as we're sitting here, we're sitting in sort of the... it's an office, but we're at a table, so it seems like meetings could happen here, and you're in front of a sign that says sex workers demand safe spaces.
And we have the different gender signs happening on it. It's in like a cool like neon green and red and pink. There's sparks flying from it, which is really cool. And there's actually this is a little organizing corner, so we have save the red light, and also a different sign in Dutch behind there as well. So these were actually used for a protest in March. And they'll probably used to be again in our protest this month as well. There was a huge protest designed or organized in March because much like it's the same issue that we're continuously fighting against, where the municipality of Amsterdam has decided that... over the last years has shut down a lot of the windows in the city center and tried to move them to another location, which to the average person sounds like a ridiculous idea, and it actually is a ridiculous idea. Like, I was just out flyering today for our demonstration, and the window workers, you know, some of them are like, you know, that's ridiculous. Like, I didn't even want to participate in the demo because they're like, that's ridiculous. They'll never shove us away. How could they? Amsterdam is known for the red light. It's known for our windows, you know, because what they want to build is they're taking the windows from the city center and trying to build them into this mega brothel on the edge of town called what they've been calling the erotic center. So, and the tricky thing about the erotic center is not only is it a financial disaster, right? It probably will not get built at the end of the day, but we've seen in cities like Utrecht in the Netherlands where they decided to shut down a bunch of windows under the promise of building another centralized space for sex workers to go work. When it's got shut down, did they build a city's an erotic center? No. So this is the pattern that we don't want to happen here, right? And we're trying to resist even this kind of building coming to fruition because the architectural proposal of it is also like really awful on the eye, so to speak. It looks like someone took an airport parking garage, wrapped it in like red saran wrap, and called it a brothel. We call it the McWhorter's drive-through because it looks like you could like drive a car up it. You obviously cannot, but it looks like there's like this multi-level building, and the idea would be like sex workers could have window spaces there. They want to put 100 window spaces there, but they also want it to be a hub of queer nightlife as well. So they're also proposing, and they also have reached out to people, for example, who work in the gay fetish scene here to see if they would want to have a queer nightlife space there. And there's definitely a power indifference that happens, right? So you have typically like white gay Dutch men who are from the queer community here who are interested in having maybe another gay nightlife space. So the entire thing gets pink-washed very, very easily, very queer-washed. And so even in some of the proposals that I've read and that I've seen, it's like what they kind of have designed as like the inside. It looks like downstairs is like kind of like a queer rave going on. They've even put like tiny little like pride flags in people's hands. I'm like, these designers do not know. Like, who walks into the gay club with like a pride flag ready to go? It was so ridiculous. And then there's like a stripping portion. There's like a strip bar, and then you have like kind of like layers of windows. And we don't know how. Like, there's no information yet about like how if independent businesses will go inside of it, or if it'll be run by one, you know, monopolized unit, which could be also very, very scary because you're giving a lot of power into one entity over a lot of people's lives. And right now, and I had just also visited some window operators today, a lot of them are, there are not many window operators in the red light, but some of them are just families or like, or, you know, they're very tight knit in some way. So there is concern around like how would this structure that, you know, is very also Foucauldian in some sense of its construction, right? Because you have this like central hub. I get worried about like comparisons to prisons in some way, but you have like doors all around and then you have like a center and people will go around and walk around and see the workers inside, and you don't have the same structure here. Like there's a really important structure, like why the red light district has been formulated and the reason in the structure that it has today. And there is a safety that kind of comes from being in this kind of environment, right? If you're a worker and you are walking home with a bunch of cash at night, you know, if someone starts to follow you, this entire, you were even saying like today, oh my gosh, it's so much, right? Like it's a really disorienting environment.
So many people,
you can dash away really easily, right? And duck behind a corner and then you're like, all you can see is like bricks and red light and canal water, right? But if you're in a huge mega brothel, it's like there's nowhere to run. And actually the public transport over there also is quite, quite little. So
in a way it sounds like there's a move to try to relegate sex work and sort of a like almost corporatized vision of how sex work works, or what they
like a physical manifestation of
and just this physical space that's relegated to the outside of the city. So here at Prostitution Information Center, you talked about flyering, and I think that's a really cool point to pick up on, because in so many different efforts to organize with layers of society who are experiencing oppression or injustice, that act of flyering and going to talk to people is always like a key component of organizing. So maybe can you just describe like what does flyering look like for you, and like going and talking to people, and like how did that go today?
It was actually my first time doing it today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I met some of the workers and I was like, it was really great because I felt really connected to them.
Respect.
Already. Yeah. And as you saw, like we were already, they already recognized you, right?
Yeah,
like they just saw me once and then they saw me going around with you and they're like, oh, hi. And you rave and you're friendly. Because I was, we just had someone who was sick today and they're like, can you go? And I was like, yeah, of course I'll go.
Nice.
Because I also have a background, I did a lot of canvassing, you know. And we took the flyers that had all of our information on it for our demonstration. And which includes, by the way, the demonstration includes not only like sex workers, but it's also residents and people in the district who work different businesses as well.
Sure.
And also people from different neighborhoods who don't want this erotic center to be built in their neighborhood. But for the workers, when we go around, we just brought, it was a very simply made, one of the, someone associated with one of the operators wrote it. And it had a photo from one of our old demonstrations. So it said no earlier closing times, no erotic center. And the closing times is something I haven't told you about yet, but this is also very important. And we had it in English, Spanish, Bulgarian, and Romanian. Because a lot of the workers are, like I said earlier, from South America, they're from Bulgaria, they're from Romania. And we went around and, just, like, approached the workers, and we kind of say, like, we had, like, hold them up to the window. We're like, hey, we're here for this, because there also are other groups that go around. Like, there's, like, you know, evangelical Christian groups that try to go, and they try to convert sex workers from being sex workers and say, like, and try to, like, get them out of doing their work. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and also you don't want to, like, disturb a potential client from going in there. But sometimes it can also bring the right energy, right? It's like you're like really happily interacting with the worker. Someone's like, oh, what's happening over there? You know, and they want to go in. But some of them were excited about the protest and were really happy that something's being done. And they're like, oh my gosh, like this again. And then some of them were like, this again? You know, there was both like a lot of there was we saw a lot of motivation to be like, okay, yeah, like why would we move? Because this is a problem of displacement at the end of the day because of this hyper gentrification, right? It's a population that's been historically there, right? Like sex work has been a part of Amsterdam's city center for centuries, like 500, 600 years. Like the church, like I was saying earlier, was like the hotspot cruising zone of the entire city. Not only like in workers were taking their clients to the graveyard, and now we have the windows, you know. But some workers were very like disenthused, like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe we have to tell them that this is like the dumbest idea ever, you know, not only dumb but incredibly violent as well. And then some people were like, you know, no, I'm in disbelief. This is just, you know, yeah, not going to happen. Because they've been threatening it for so long. And then some people don't want to come because they don't want their face recognized either. And they're very sensitive to like showing
coming
up.
To
and,
the protest.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they can't be totally out as a sex worker, to like their families or their friends or like, you know, or their families in whatever sure. home country. Cause they do, people do come with media. And people, I think it's like, I don't know, now things have been I can't say make a broad stroke, but like more and more queer people come out, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but coming out as a sex worker is like a whole different level of that. Like to say that I sell sexual services for money is like a whole different layer of taboo for some people. So a lot of people aren't out and they don't want their families to know, much like if you're a queer person who wasn't out, you don't want like your face on like the front of like a pride demonstration or something like this, or yeah. So
I mean, you, when we just we're walking around the district yeah. and you were talking about this process of the city mm-hmm. making former window spaces into art studios,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about gentrification and, yeah. and I mean, there's a similar pattern we see in a lot of cities around the world, mm-hmm. which is basically the city manipulating the arts to try to sell an mm-hmm. area for real estate investment
yeah.
and sell a certain vibe. And I mean, in the Amsterdam context, it's deeper in yeah. the sense that this is also a sex work district.
Yeah.
But then often what happens with gentrification is all the sort of interesting elements of a particular neighborhood are sold. Mm-hmm. But then once, I mean, basically, people are forced to leave.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the term displacement.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's important and interesting for people to think about that process mm-hmm. as it's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So could you talk a bit about, like, the contradictions of, like, maybe what Amsterdam as, like, a city that really promotes tourism, like, mm-hmm. sells mm-hmm. versus, like, on a community-based level, like we're in basically a community organizing space
yeah.
at Prostitution Information Center, how people sort of have to sort of deal with this constant pressure from the city.
Oh, where to begin? People talk about the Disneyfication of Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. So this is like, there are certain kind of like visual elements and things the city is known for.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's weed as well, because that's also the other thing, is like prostitutes and weed, right? Or psychedelic, like the mushroom, the truffle shops, the stroop waffles, the fries. Like there's so many little elements, you know, that get like kind of pulled out and then like blown up in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Or the clogs and stuff. So you can like walk around the city center and see all these. It's going to be the longer bell too, because it's the hour. I don't know, it's like these supermarkets, these kind of quote-unquote tourist shops that sell this image of the city back unto itself,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very strange. Or the tulips, like these like visual markers. Well, the tulips are from Turkey. They hopped on this trend and like, you know, so it's very strange. Also the distance or this like extreme colonizer mentality that the Dutch have like continuously have and continue to have over these images that are kind of like markers of their quote-unquote identity or Amsterdam identity.
Or even the blue and white plates.
Right, or China. Exactly. I mean, this is, we are sitting in the belly of the empire, and I do not underestimate the power of that in some way.
On a cultural level.
On a cultural level, on like a way, kind of the processing ways of thinking, the way people think,
mm-hmm.
Cultural, how power works.
Mm-hmm.
how knowledge is produced and reproduced here. I mean, there's not a brick from the city center that wasn't, you know, the money came from colonization and the transatlantic slave trade, you know, like this is like what this city is literally built on, you know. So this wanting to sell, be a super capitalist center is not unlike the kind of origins of this place, maybe, is what I'm trying to say. But there's this, like, I struggle to put into words, but yeah, taking these images or taking, like, mm-hmm. like I just mentioned, and then reselling it back to people, and creating this tourist hub. Like, the city did it to itself, but they like to blame sex workers, right? They like to blame sex workers and the coffee houses where people go smoke weed, right? To be like, oh, this is the reason why there's so many, like, tourists, like unruly tourists coming to the city center. It's because we have the window workers there. And you just saw that they're so tame, like, you know, and because people are coming for all the, to smoke joints and then, because, like, you know, it's not,
chill.
It's very chill, but, you know, in the weekends, like I was trying to tell you earlier as well, there's a lot of drunk tourists who come from the UK. They come from Germany. Also, the rowdiest group, if they did the research, the rowdiest group is actually Dutchmen from other from other spaces outside of Amsterdam come, and they bring their stag parties, and they bring a huge group of people, and they, you know, bachelorette parties come. People come on, like, you know, group vacations, and the city center kind of gets turned into this, like, amusement park, essentially, where up and down the canals, like, you can only walk one way. They'll shut down the bridges, you know, and so people are channeled around the streets in a very, like, you feel like you're being toured down an amusement park, and then, like, it's like the sex work, the gaze that it produces around sex work can be quite challenging because you're really, like, you're meant to be something that's, like, really gazed and looked at and, like, kind of balked at in some way, and it's an interesting reproduction of taboo around sex work, but it's still really much desired in some way. Like, you still want to go approach and probably will buy that 50 euro blowjob from a worker at some point along in your trip as well. And so there's this incredible tension between, and this is, like, the strange thing about sex worker organizing, I think. It's like sex work is simultaneously something that creates a lot of taboo and stigma, but simultaneously so much fascination. People want to know everything about it, but they're also, like, like, reproducing a lot of stigma and taboo in their head around it as well. And and this is also why this place in particular is really, really interesting and fascinating, because, like, it not only talks about, you know, we talk about sex work in the history of Amsterdam and how the windows came to the formations they came to today, right? But we also, you know, you can pick a book off the shelf and learn about, like, the prostitute, like, the holy whores and the temple prostitutes, or sex work in Germany, or sex work in Brussels, or in other contexts as well.
Well, back to this space, which I think is always, you know, maybe not in many different contexts, the importance of a physical space to organize together is so important, whether it's, like, a worker center or a center for non-status people. You know, we're talking about the context of sex work, and we're at the Prostitution Information Center. And I think it's an interesting point, because today there is a lot of sharing of information through social media, which is a great tool in a lot of ways. But that is not a physical space, right? And I think it's an interesting, like, question for our generation, broadly speaking, is how do we balance the sort of tools of online activism with the sort of the sustaining need to actually have a space where we can gather and people can have, like, a physical point to go to, if you see what I mean, whether it's a center, whether it's protest. I mean, how does that relate to your work?
I mean, it's even trickier with thinking about social media alongside sex work. And you saw, like, last, when we made our post about your event, right? It was Pick Amsterdam Backup. It was because our first Instagram account got shut down. And people had to be very careful about how they position sex work on Instagram and Facebook. And Twitter is more active and a little bit more lenient because it's a different company. But from what I understand, I'm not the most social media minded person, but I know you can't, you know, you'd be very careful about how you position sex work, because it can be taken down like that, because it goes against community standards and guidelines. So when I'm making posts about a sex worker community event, I often use different forms of spelling sex work, because the algorithm can even pick up on the very, like, it knows what letters you're using, or like the shape of the letters, and so you have to get really a little bit creative and like add like a zero or a euro sign instead of that E, or a 070 or something like this, or do a different spelling of sex. You can get creative, because this idea, again, that it revolves around sex of any kind is controversial to the community guideline standards of Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, wow. So that's a whole nother layer to deal with.
It's a whole nother layer, yeah. So, you know, it's not unfrequent that sex worker Instagrams get shut down. Mm-hmm.
And that includes sex worker organizing.
It includes sex workers and sex worker organizations, too. And we also have to be very careful about how we even outreach to people, because, you know, if you're in a country where sex work is still criminalized, mm-hmm. if you have that on your phone, you know, or if it's legalized but you don't have the right permits mm-hmm. for it, you can be subject to jail time, to a fine, to, being outed in some ways. So you have to be very careful about how you are dealing with sex worker data, because it is something, if it gets, much like you understand, like in an organizing context, like you don't want that person's data to get leaked, you know, mm-hmm. it's really, really sensitive. So it's much the same in sex work, because, it implicates people to stuff, or implicates people to an extent. It's not really actually an implication, but like, if they don't have the right registration, mm-hmm. right, it could be dangerous to them and their careers. And again, like we said, like a lot of the folks working in the windows are also migrant people, or immigrants who are all working legally, right? So mm-hmm. it shouldn't affect them, but people who are doing escorting work, mm-hmm. unregistered, or homework, or like working from home or something like this, like no one advertises on social media, right? But if you're saying that you're doing sex work on social media, it could, and like you're not doing it legally, it could be really a scary thing for you. And then for the advertising bit, like you have to be very careful about how you position yourself.
That was a conversation with Mercy, an organizer at the Prostitution Information Center in Amsterdam. Thank you so much to Mercy and all the other staff for welcoming me at the space and for this broadcast. Free City Radio is hosted and produced by me, Stefan Christoph, and we air weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CGLO 1690 a.m., also in Jiajiaoge, Montreal, on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m. on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays, and now on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. We are a podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just look up Free City Radio. Our archives are at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. Thank you so much for being with us, and I'll speak to you next week.
Radio. Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.